Good day out there in podcast land, wherever you may be. I'm John Chomo, your host for episode 31 of the podcast Then and Now. As we take a look forward at some upcoming events and things that are going on currently and look back at some anniversaries, birthdays, etc., we'll start with that. We will, first of all, go over facts and anniversaries and historical events and birthdays from the week of September 27th through October 3rd. So we'll start with September 27th. On that date, 70 years ago, September 27th, 1954, the first ever Tonight Show on NBC was aired. Anybody remember who the host of the Tonight Show was in 1954? He was a really clever guy, really smart, really talented. The late Steve Allen was the first host of the Tonight Show. On September 27th, 1964, 60 years ago, the Warren Commission report was released to the public. If you recall, the Warren Commission was put together a few days after the assassination of President Kennedy and the murder of his alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, in Dallas. The Warren Commission reported that they could find no evidence of a conspiracy in the assassination. That has been debated more than I care to think. In the last 60 years, we'll be putting together a special podcast for mid to late November on the Kennedy assassination by popular request. So we'll be putting that together and putting that out around Thanksgiving time. The last baseball game at a great place to watch baseball, Tiger Stadium in Detroit, was 25 years ago on September 27, 1999. The Tigers beat the Kansas City Royals. Boy, the Tigers are really coming on strong. We'll deal with baseball here in a couple minutes. Tiger Stadium, I was fortunate enough to see three games there. It was just a fabulous place to watch a baseball game. Birthdays for September 27th. Samuel Adams, the leader of the Sons of Liberty up in New England. Samuel Adams, born September 27th, 1722. He was not a brewer, by the way. Thomas Nast, the first great political cartoonist in American history, born on September 27th, 1840. The late musician Meatloaf was born on that date in 1947. A couple of more, kind of local here. Guy that grew up in Dayton and went to Ohio University in Athens before becoming a Hall of Fame third baseman with the Philadelphia Phillies, hitting over 500 home runs. Mike Schmidt will be 75. Steve Kerr will be 59 on September 27th. Steve Kerr has only won 9 NBA championship rings, 5 as a player in 1996, 97, and 98 with the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls, and in 1999 and 2003 with Pop and the Spurs. He also has won 4 as coach of the Golden State Warriors. Lil Wayne will be 42, and Avril Lavigne will be 40 on September 27th. Moving to September 28th, this goes way back. On September 28th, 1066, William the Conqueror landed in England, sailed across the English Channel. It was one of only 2 successful military incursions across the English Channel in recorded history. Does anybody know where the other one was and when it happened? Yes, you out there that said 1944 D-Day, you are correct. September 28, 1955, the first ever color telecast of a World Series game was broadcast from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, the game one of the 1955 World Series, Brooklyn Dodgers against the New York Yankees. The ferry boat Estonia sank in the Baltic, killing over 800 people 30 years ago, September 28, 1994. The last baseball games at Milwaukee County Stadium, that happened in 2000, Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia in 2003, and Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego, also in 2003, they all took place on September 28th. Birthdays include Confucius, a philosopher, born September 28th, 551 BC, going pretty far back for that one. Ed Sullivan, who had the mighty successful CBS TV variety show on Sunday nights. Ed Sullivan, born September 28th, 1901. Actress Brigitte Bardot will be 86. Musician-singer Ben E. King, most famous for the song Stand By Me, born September 28th, 1938. Actress Mira Sorvino will be 57. Actress Naomi Watts will be 56. Jeezy will be 47. And actress Hilary Duff will be 37. That's a loaded day, September 28th. Moving to September 29th, a fateful day in the run-up to World War II, the Munich Pact was signed in Munich on September 29th, 1938. The signers were the leaders of Germany, Italy, France, and Great Britain, Hitler, Mussolini, Daladier, and Chamberlain. It was a trade-off. The British and French leaders allowed Hitler to keep the mountainous border area of Czechoslovakia known as the Sudetenland in exchange for Hitler's promise for peace and to not ask for any other land. How'd that work out? Chamberlain came back and put some egg on his face directly at the airport in London. He waved the pact in his hand in the air and said, "In my hand, I hold peace in our time." How'd that work out, Neville? Not too well. You can't appease dictators, bottom line. All right, 70 years ago, September 29th, 1954, Game 1 of the World Series at the Polo Grounds in New York. The Cleveland Indians were playing the New York Giants. It was the eighth inning. Vic Wertz of the Indians came up with a couple of men on base and hit a thunderous fly ball to center field. The young Giants center fielder, fresh back from the Army, turned his back, raced as fast as he could, and caught it over his shoulder like a wide receiver. His name was Willie Mays. That great catch saved the day for the Giants. Unfortunately for Indians fans, they won that game. The Giants did in extra innings and swept Cleveland in that World Series, despite the fact that Cleveland had set a record and won 111 games while losing only 43. Willie Mays' most famous moment, maybe, his great catch in the World Series. The only World Series that he ever won, actually. Here's a mystery for you that was never solved. On September 29th, 1982, it was found that six people who had bought cartons, jars, if you will, of Tylenol in various places in the Chicago area, six people had died from ingesting Tylenol. This one has never been solved. They found out that somebody had gone into stores in the Chicagoland area and laced just maybe one bottle per store of Tylenol with cyanide. It was never found out who did it, as I said. The real tremendous part of the story really is that Tylenol survived as a brand. They did their research. They came up with the wrappings that you have now when you open medicines and so forth. None of those things existed prior to this date in 1982. The Tylenol murders unsolved, but it changed the way medicines were packaged in America. And the people at Tylenol really did an unbelievable job of saving their brand, I think. Birthdays include British Admiral Horatio Nelson, the hero of the Battle of Trafalgar, born September 29th, 1758. The singer Elvis's cousin, one of the early heroes of rock and roll before he kind of messed up his personal life, Jerry Lee Lewis, will be 89. Nobel Prize winner from Poland, leader of the Solidarity movement in the 1980s, Lech Walesa, will be 81. Georgia Tech and Lions great wide receiver, Calvin Johnson will be 39. He retired very early. Kevin Durant, two-time NBA champ, Olympic gold medalist this past summer. Kevin Durant will be 36. It's the singer Halsey, she'll be 30. And Cardale Jones, baby, quarterback who led the Ohio State Buckeyes to the 2014 national championship. He's now a commentator on CBS Sports Network. Cardale Jones will be 32. All right, moving to September 30th, the Americans and the French began the Siege of Yorktown, Virginia on September 30th, 1781. It lasted roughly 2.5 weeks before Cornwallis surrendered his British troops. The great TV series Cheers premiered on NBC September 30th, 1982. Our hero, Pirates great right fielder Roberto Clemente, got his 3,000th base hit at Three Rivers Stadium off John Matlack of the Mets on September 30th, 1972. Brief personal story here. Our family was at the game on September 29th, 1972, against the Mets, when it appeared that Clemente was set to get his 3,000th hit. He hit a ball to Ken Boswell in the first inning. It was originally ruled a hit and then very quickly changed to an error, greeted by many boos in Three Rivers Stadium that night. He was held 0 for 4 by Tom Seaver, who won the game 1-0 for his 20th win. So I missed seeing Roberto Clemente's 3,000th hit by about 18 hours. Unbelievable. Royals great George Brett got his 3,000th hit exactly 20 years later on September 30th, 1992. The late Holocaust survivor and author Elie Wiesel, born September 30th, 1928. Phillies Hall of Fame pitcher Robin Roberts, born September 30th, 1926. Moving to October 1st, and there's a lot here. October 1st has been a big day. The American Red Cross, founded by Clara Barton on that date in 1881. The communists under Mao Zedong won the Chinese Civil War on October 1st, 1949. Nigeria in Africa became an independent nation in 1960. Yankees right fielder Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's long-standing home run record with his 61st home run of the 1961 season on the final day of the season at Yankee Stadium. Barcodes, you know, those little things that you scan at the store? Barcodes were invented 50 years ago, 1974. The final baseball game at the aforementioned Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh happened on October 1st, 2000. The Pirates lost to the Cubs and moved into beautiful PNC Park the following season. The deadliest mass shooting in North American history took place now 7 years ago, on October 1st, 2017, at an outdoor concert in Las Vegas. 58 people were killed and 413 wounded. Guess what type of gun was used there? You don't even have to guess, do you? Unbelievable. Former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, William Rehnquist, would have been 100 on October 1st. On October 1st, and as we record, he's awaiting his 100th birthday, James Earl Carter of Georgia, Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States, will turn 100 on October 1st. He said previously this year that he wants to live to 100. He can't wait to go vote for Kamala Harris. Well, we'll see. Hopefully he gets his chance to vote. Julie Andrews will be, let's see, math in my head, 89 years old on October 1st, star of Mary Poppins, The Sound of Music, and many others. Hall of Famer Rod Carew, who just got his American citizenship, by the way. He's originally Panamanian. Rod Carew will be 78. Happy birthday, Rod. Mark McGuire will be 60. Zach Galifianakis will be 55. Actress Brie Larson will be 35. My friend from high school, Leah. Happy birthday to Leah on October 1st. And the one, the only, you know him, you love him, Mike Householder has a birthday on October 1st. Happy birthday, House. All right, October 2nd, the first ever Peanuts comic strip by Charles M. Schulz appeared in newspapers October 2nd, 1950. Thurgood Marshall sworn in as the first African-American U.S. Supreme Court justice on October 2nd, 1967. The Bucky Dent game, or in New England as it's known, the Bucky Effing Dent game, was played on October 2nd, 1978. It was a one-game playoff for the American League East Championship between the ancient rivals, the Yankees and the Red Sox. Bucky Dent, who rarely hit any home runs, teed off on a three-run homer in the seventh inning and led the Yankees to a win in that game. They eventually would go on to win the World Championship. That frustrated further the longtime frustrated Red Sox fans. October 2nd, little personal history here, was the first ever day I used a blue Facts for the Day card. All of this stuff that we do at the beginning of the podcast, generated from that. It was an idea I got while student teaching. I took a class, and the guy said, the teacher, Carl Doolin, actually, from Chippewa, said, come up with something that's yours, that's you. And so I thought, well, I kind of always like this, facts and stuff. So back then, there was no internet, nothing like that. So I had to go to the library and look things up in books and atlases and almanacs and things like that. So the first ever blue card for Facts for the Day, October 2nd, 1989. That's a little personal history. Birthdays, Mahatma Gandhi, the great Indian leader, born October 2nd, 1869. One of my personal favorites from the movies, Groucho Marx, born October 2nd, 1895. Sting will be 73, and Kelly Ripa will be 54. Finally, this week on October 3rd, a little local history here. The great restaurant in Akron, Ohio, Luigi's, open for business October 3rd, 1949. That's the place where you can get a little bit of salad with your cheese, if you know what I'm talking about. Bobby Thompson's home run, the shot heard around the world in the playoff New York Giants versus Brooklyn Dodgers. Bobby Thompson won the final game in the bottom of the ninth with a dramatic come-from-behind three-run homer on October 3rd, 1951, one of the most famous moments in baseball history. The first ever Andy Griffith Show episode on CBS, October 3rd, 1960. I can hear you whistling the theme in the background. O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, on October 3rd, 1995. That's one of those moments in history where you remember where you were when you heard it. I was teaching in the old THS building. I was a traveling teacher that year, my first year full-time at the high school. I was in Mr. Zerke's room down at the end of the hall, good old room 102, had it on television when the verdict was announced. Birthdays on October 3rd. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac will be 77. Hall of Fame outfielder Dave Winfield will be 73. Hall of Fame pitcher Dennis Eckersley will be 70. The 1992 Masters champ, boy, would I love to have his golf swing, Fred Couples will be 65. Gwen Stefani, formerly of No Doubt, will be 55. As will Janelle Maloney. Those of you who are West Wing fans know her as Donna Moss. Now, that brings up a little visit to the White House last week by many of the cast members of the West Wing and President Bartlet himself. They were welcomed by Dr. Jill Biden and gave some speeches out in the Rose Garden. That was pretty cool to see. Okay, there's our facts and current events and birthdays and so forth segment. A little longer this time. There were a lot of them this week. We'll move on to several topics. I'm going to take it a little lighter on the politics this week. I do have one election-type note that I want to talk about, but we'll hit on some other things here. First of all, update on the baseball situation. As of this recording, in the American League, buys for the first round have been clinched by both the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees. Probably the New York Yankees. They need one more win to do it. Houston won the American League Western Division. Baltimore has qualified for one of the wild card spots. Still alive for the other two American League wild card spots as of this recording, Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, and Seattle. So still a lot to be decided in the American League. The National League buys probably for the Phillies and the Dodgers. They're very close. The Dodgers lost last night by hitting into a triple play in the bottom of the ninth inning. Crazy. Already in as wild card teams or as division champs, Milwaukee and San Diego. Still alive, and this is interesting, the Mets, the Braves, and the Diamondbacks. Now, the Mets are currently engaged in a three-game series in Atlanta. The first game was played Monday night. The Braves won. The Braves are like a game and a half behind the Mets. Two more to play in that series. Here's the problem. Hurricane Helene is hitting Atlanta, the outer effects of it as we speak. I don't see how they're going to be able to play a baseball game in Atlanta in the next 2 days. What will that do to the schedule? Or do they have an off day? I haven't even looked. Do they have an off day on Thursday? Can they play a doubleheader Thursday, maybe? They should have thought about this a little bit more proactively, maybe played a doubleheader on Monday. I don't know. But the weather could be playing havoc with deciding who's in the playoffs in the National League. We'll see. Before we leave baseball here, I have to tip my hat to Shohei Ohtani, who last week in Miami had maybe the greatest individual performance in a regular season baseball game in the history of baseball. And I don't say that lightly, the history of baseball, Major League Baseball, dating back to 1869. In that game, six at-bats, three home runs, two doubles, one single, six for six, 10 RBIs, four runs scored, two stolen bases. In that game as well, he became the first ever player to have 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in the same season. Is that the best single-game performance ever? I mean, you can weigh it versus a playoff performance. There have been some great playoff performances that might mean a little more in the standings and so forth. But I think I'll call it the best regular season game that I've ever seen. It also clinched a playoff spot for the Dodgers. Now, you have to factor that in too, I suppose. So a tip of the hat to the electrifying player, Shohei Ohtani of the LA Dodgers. Moving on to the election. And I just want to deal with this a little bit. We now have early voting in most states, as you may know. That didn't used to be the case. Back in the day, everybody had to vote on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November on Election Day. We used to say, those of us in the social studies department, used to say that good Election Day weather favored the Democrats. They were fair weather voters, and poor forecasts favored Republicans. They were kind of more reliable voters. I think that was generally true. That's not really as much of a factor. It doesn't have to be anymore. The fair weather, quote unquote, Democratic voters can now pick a nice day in October to go vote. It's a fascinating split among those who plan to vote early versus those who plan to vote on Election Day. In a recent NBC News poll, 51% of registered voters planned to vote early. I would be one of those. I wasn't polled. Among those who want to vote early or say they're going to vote early, Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump 61 to 35%. That's a 26-point margin. In that poll, 45% of registered voters plan to vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th. Among those voters, former President Trump holds a 57-37% lead. That's plus 20. So maybe that old bromide, tale that we used to tell, maybe that's true. Maybe that's always been true. It seems that Democrats want to get out and vote early and are enthused to do that, and Republicans will wait for Election Day and go on Election Day. I don't know what that says about either group of people, but it seems to be the case. The fair weather Democrats can pick a nice day to go vote now. That's kind of interesting. And it's interesting that it splits out exactly as we might have thought 20 or 30 years ago. A couple of other things here in the topics. I want to briefly tip my hat to Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders on the recent Monday Night Football game in Cincinnati. That game was the first NFL game since 1940 with no turnovers and no punts. That's remarkable. And Jaden Daniels was nearly perfect. Unbelievable performance for a rookie quarterback. Joe Burrow was very good, too, for the Bengals. But it's too bad they're now 0-3. Too bad for him. But I just wanted to mention that. No turnovers and no punts in an NFL game for the first time since prior to Pearl Harbor, 1940. Wow. Finally, in the topics, I want to touch on golf. The President's Cup matches begin Thursday this week at Royal Montreal Golf Club in Canada. This is similar to the Ryder Cup, those of you who may have seen the Ryder Cup last year. The Ryder Cup is the United States versus Europe. We haven't fared so well in recent years in that contest. The President's Cup is the United States against the rest of the world, except Europe. And in those matches, we are 12-1-1, 12 wins, one loss, and a tie, versus the international squad, which this year includes three Canadians. They'll be playing on their home turf up in Montreal. Their names are Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, and Taylor Pendrith. Those names might be familiar to some of you local folks. The reason for that is they all played their golf collegiately for fellow Canadian Coach Herb Page at Kent State University. They'll play for another fellow Canadian. The captain of the international squad is Mike Weir, Canadian, who won the Masters Championship in 2003. The U.S. captain is the 2002 U.S. Open champ Jim Furyk, a very familiar name to golf fans. So if you want to watch match play golf, which I love, take a look at the President's Cup matches. They begin Thursday. They'll go Thursday through Sunday up at Royal Montreal Golf Club in Canada. All right, that'll do it for our topics this week. We'll get to three good questions here, and we'll leave the answers for you for these three questions for next week. If you'd like to take a stab at answering one, two, or three of these questions, please send an email to us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's three spelled out, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. These questions happen to be all from Jeff Cole. So thanks, Jeff. I saved him up for this week. Question number one, what's the fewest number of wins for a Major League Baseball team that made the playoffs in a full 162-game season? Fewest number of wins for any team that got into the playoffs. I know the answer to that one because I lived through it as a Pirates fan back in the day. So that might be a little bit of a clue. So there's number one. What is the fewest number of wins for a major league team that made the playoffs in a full season? Okay, question number two. Who is the first African American to play baseball at Kansas State? Now, that's a tough one. Here's a hint. His son is more famous, but in a different sport. Let me repeat that once again. Who is the first African American to play baseball at Kansas State University? The hint is that his son is more famous than him, but in a different sport. Okay. We'll move on to question number three. Only 10 schools have won six or more recognized college football national championships. Those are national championships that are awarded by either the AP, the United Press International back in the day, the CFP now, or back in the day also the National Football Foundation. Only 10 schools have won six or more recognized college football national championships. Of those 10, four are Big Ten schools. Can you name them? A, can you name the four Big Ten schools that have won at least six? And B, can you take a shot and name the other six as well? Again, there are 10. 10 schools have won six or more recognized college football national championships. Four were in the Big Ten, are in the Big Ten, I should say. Name them. See if anybody can come up with the answers. We'll give you the answers next week when we do episode 32 of Then and Now. That'll wrap it up for this week. It was a full boat. We got through all that pretty well, I think. You all have a good week. Take care. We'll talk to you next week on episode 31. I'm your host, John Shomo. This has been Then and Now. Thanks for listening, everybody.